91.5 WMFO. Welcome. Hi, how are you? Thanks to Yvonne and Annabelle Talakai. It was a great show. He's the best. And thank you for all the shout outs. It's an honor to follow you here on WMFO as the years roll by. And I'm here celebrating. I just wanted to mention I'm celebrating my 15th season here. It's hard to believe. I think Yvonne's show is that might be 25, maybe even, no, I think 25, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, thanks for joining me here. We're doing a Sinead O'Connor show, and this show is devoted to her because of the documentary that just came out, Nothing Compares. It was pretty amazing to be reminded of all the stuff that happened around the late 80s, early 90s, and how she really took the popular culture by storm. It was a kind of a terrific film and sort of gets into her as a victim and also how she really wasn't ready for stardom, I mean, then again, who is? But also how she was kind of ahead of her time when it came to protesting and speaking her mind, especially as a woman and as an artist. And so those are some fascinating themes that the film dug into, and I saw that last night. So we're going to have a show devoted to her, not just to her, but also to the music that she enjoys and that was referenced in the film, some Rasta stuff, also some other Irish stuff, and also some other music of the time that she was supporting. We're going to start off with a great track from her first record, The Lion and the Cobra. Interestingly enough, her label Ensign didn't want to use the image that she initially shot for the cover. It was like her like kind of like yelling, and they thought it was like too much for American audiences, so they have one of her with her hands crossed looking very contemplative. And it was her first record, so they had to be a little more, I guess they decided they were going to be a little more tame. So anyway, here's a Drink Before the War from The Lion and the Cobra, 1,000 Points of Light, 91.5 in Medford. Thank you.
soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. They hurt you at home and they hit you at school. They hate you if you're clever and they despise a fool. Till you're so fucking crazy you can't follow their rules. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. When they've tortured and scared you for 20 odd years, then they expect you to pick a career. When you can't really function, you're so full of fear. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. Keep you doped with religion and sex and TV. And you think you're so clever and classless and free. But you're still fucking peasants as far as I can see. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. There's room at the top, they are telling you still. But first you must learn how to smile as you kill. If you want to be like the folks on the hill. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.
Thatcher on TV, shocked by the deaths that took place in Beijing. It seems strange that she should be offended. The same orders are given by her. I've said this before. You said I was childish and you'll say it now. Remember what I told you. If they hated me, they will hate you. England's not the mythical. Black boys on mobile. father down at Smithfield. 5 a.m. looking for food for her kids. In her arms she holds 3 cold babies. And the first word that they learned was please. These are dangerous days. To say what you feel is to name your own grave. Remember what I told you. If you were of the world, they would love you. England's not the mythical land of Madame George and Roses. It's the home of police who kill black boys on no kids. And I love my boy, and that's why I'm leaving. I don't want him to be aware that there's any such thing as grief.
Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody. All right, Bob Dylan. Gotta Serve Somebody from Slow Train Coming, Thousand Points of Light, WMFO. And that was a record that had been called out in the documentary Nothing Compares about Sinead O'Connor. As that came out in 79, so right around the time that she was kind of becoming a musician or kind of learning about music, and that was something that she had cited as a record that was influential to her. Before that was Sinead O'Connor with Black Boys on Mopeds, very moving song from I Do Not Want What I Haven't Got. John Lennon's Working Class Hero from the Lennon Plastic Ono Band record, and Sinead's Drink Before the War from Lion and the Cobra. 1,000 Points of Light, 91.5 Medford. So we're having a show devoted to Sinead O'Connor, and it's about, spurred on by the new documentary that's out called The Nothing Compares. And it's interesting. I mean, I remember growing up when that was sort of, when she was kind of exploding all over the scene, and it was interesting to hear the backstory from her label Ensign. I didn't know that she was pregnant when she was making the Lion and the Cobra, and the label tried to convince her to have an abortion. I mean, that's insane. It's completely insane. I mean, and of course, at the time, abortion was still like a big issue in Ireland, and they were still coming out of this being this country dominated by the church. And actually, they were years away from making it legal. In fact, it was like 20 years from making it legal. So that was like kind of a big ask. And it's interesting, when I Do Not Want What I Haven't Got was ready to come out, they heard the masters and they're like, oh, we can't put this out. This is too personal. This is like reading someone's diary. I mean, talk about not being connected with an artist and not being on the same page. It was completely insane, not to mention the fact that it became huge. If they had had their way, who knows what would have happened. Probably wouldn't have been as big. I think that goes without saying. All right, anyway, let's move on. Up next, this is a track called Troy from The Lion and the Cobra, which is written about her mother. The record, as she says on the album, is dedicated to her mother, but this one specifically was mentioned in the documentary, so let's hear that right now. 1,000 Points of Light, 91.5 in Medford.
I remember it in Dublin in a rainstorm, sitting in the long grass in summer, keeping warm. I remember it every restless night. We were so young then, we thought that everything we could possibly do was right. And we tell me, when do the light die? You will rise, you'll return again.
There is no other choice. There's been a lot of talk about this next song. Maybe too much talk. This song is not a rebel song. This song is Someday, Bloody Someday.
Sunday, bloody Sunday.
with no promo seltzer handy, I don't even shake. Men are not a new sensation. I've done pretty well, I think. But this half pint imitation put me on the blink. I'm wild again, beguiled again, a simpering, whimpering child again, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. Am I? Couldn't sleep and wouldn't sleep when love came and told me I shouldn't sleep. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. Am I? What of it? He is cold. I agree. He can laugh, but I love it. Although the laugh's on me, sing to him each spring to him, and long for the day when I'll cling to him, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. Am I? Best.
saw her standing on her front lawn, just a twirling her baton. Me and her went for a ride, sir, and 10 innocent people died. From the town of Lincoln, Nebraska, with a sawed-off 410 on my land, through to the bedlands of Wyoming, I killed everything in my path. I can't say that I'm sorry for the things that we've done, at least for a little while, sir. Me and her, we had us some fun. Now the jury brought in a guilty verdict, and the judge, he sentenced me to death. Midnight in prison storeroom, with leather straps across my chest. Sheriff, when the man pulls that switch, sir, and snaps my poor neck back, you make sure my pretty baby sitting right there. Set into that great void, my soul be heard. They want to know why I did what I did. Well, sir, I guess there's just a meanness in this world.
All right, the boss, Bruce Springsteen. That's Nebraska from the Live 75-85. I like to say that's still one of my favorite box sets of all time, and the first one, I think, ever, in 1986 when it was released. All right, before that, Sinead O'Connor with Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered from Am I Not Your Girl. U2, Sunday Bloody Sunday, and it was Sinead O'Connor's Troy starting things off from The Lion and the Cobra. So Troy is a song about Sinead's mom and about how she was very abusive to her when she was growing up. In fact, there was even a reference to a specific moment that she found very traumatic when her mother locked her outside of the house and made her live outside for a week because of something she had done. And this was described in the film, in the documentary film, which I just saw last night, called Nothing Compares, and has been the impetus for this show here tonight, all about Sinead O'Connor and really about the music from the film, Nothing Compares. So that's sort of what's going on here tonight, and of course, U2, they also from Ireland, and I think somebody who, I think her manager had been involved or with the management of U2 at some point, and of course Springsteen and Idol along with Bob Dylan of Sinead's. And and I wanted to mention Am I Not Your Girl. So I had a roommate at the time that the record came out. His name was Larry Shoemaker. And he was working. He was a college rep for this now defunct distributor called SEMA, and they were distributing Sinead's music as well as many others. And he's telling me that he was on multiple like distribution calls, and people who worked at the label who were in charge of or worked at the distributor in charge of selling all this stuff that they were distributing. And when it came time to the Sinead record, "Am I Not Your Girl," people were just completely baffled by it. Didn't know what to do with it. Didn't know what to make of it. And that's partly why it became like this incredible, it was like a bomb for her. I mean, it was probably, it sounded like a great record. I mean, it's like a jazz and had legit producers and musicians, but not only was it so drastically different from the one from I Do Not Want What I Haven't Got, the label didn't support it accurately or adequately. And she waited 2 years before she put it out. So it was a lot of stuff going against her there. But it's a shame because it's a great record. Anyway, let's move on. Up next, another record. So it's like she had the first two, and then like with all the controversy over what she was saying and doing and the ripping up of the Pope of his picture and all that stuff, she became like this whipping or somebody that kind of like a punching bag. But in the wake of all of that, there were some great records that she put out. And Universal Mother is another one we're going to hear, Thank You for Hearing Me, which is actually the track that that concludes the film. 1,000 Points of Light, 91.5 in Medford.
Gentle with me. A couple of years back, I come across a great and wasted friend of mine in the hallway of a recording studio. And while he was reciting some poetry to me that he'd written, I saw that he was about a step away from dying, and I couldn't help but wonder why. And the lines of this song occurred to me. I'm happy to say he's no longer wasted, and he's got him a good woman. And I'd like to dedicate this to John and June, who helped show me how to beat the devil. It was wintertime in Nashville, down on Music City Row. And I was looking for a place to get myself out of the cold, to warm the frozen feeling that was eating at my soul, keep the chilly wind off my guitar. My thirsty wanted whiskey, my hunger needed beans. But it'd been a month of payday since I'd heard that eagle scream. So with a stomach full of empty and a pocket full of dreams, I left my pride and stepped inside a bar. Actually, I guess you'd call it a tavern. Cigarette smoke to the ceiling and sawdust on the floor. Friendly shadows. I saw that there was just one old man sitting at the bar. And in the mirror I could see him checking me and my guitar. And he turned and said, "Come up here, boy, and show us what you are." I said, "I'm dry." And he bought me a beer. He nodded at my guitar and said, "It's a tough life, ain't it?" I just looked at him. He said, "You ain't making any money, are you?" I said, "You've been reading my mail." He just smiled and said, "Let me see that guitar. I got something you ought to hear." Then he laid it on me. If you waste your time talking to the people who don't listen to the things that you are saying, who do you think's gonna hear? And if you should die explaining how the things that they complain about are things they could be changing, who do you think's gonna care? There were other lonely singers in a world turned deaf and blind, who were crucified for what they tried to show. And their voices have been scattered by the swirling winds of time, 'cause the truth remains that no one wants to know. Well, the old man was a stranger, but I'd heard his song before, back when failure had me locked out on the wrong side of the door, when no one stood behind me but my shadow on the floor, and lonesome was more than a state of mind. You see, the devil haunts a hungry man. If you don't want to join him, you gotta beat him. I ain't saying I beat the devil, but I drank his beer for nothing. Then I stole his song. And you still can hear me singing to the people who don't listen to the things that I am saying, praying someone's gonna hear. And I guess I'll die explaining how the things that they complain about are things they could change, hoping someone's gonna care. I was born a lonely singer, and I'm bound to die the same, but I've got to feed the hunger in my soul. And if I never have a nickel, I won't ever die ashamed, 'cause I don't believe that no one wants to know.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I am not
thought that nothing would change me. I was not listening anymore. Still you continue to affect me. Was not thinking anymore. Although I said I still was, I'd said I don't want anymore. So different. I have not seen freedom.